It's been a hell of a year.
The old relationship we had with the United States is over. Let me be direct. We are in the midst of a rupture, not a transition.
Canada lives because of the United States. Remember that, Mark, the next time you make your statements.
It's been a year of the world order falling apart. It's been a year when stupidity and brutality have only accelerated.
Canada gets a lot of freebies from us, by the way. They should be grateful also, but they're not.
But it's also been a year of change, of great change, of unthinkable change, of change to the way Canada operates, who it trusts, who it fears.
What do you think rupture means? Rupture means that things aren't normal. Things have changed. Things have changed fundamentally.
And one change is perhaps most drastic of all, the most unexpected.
Middle powers have more power than many realize.
What you were listening to there was the beginning of the most recent episode of the Gloves Off podcast. Heading into a new season, the man behind it is Stephen Marsh, journalist, author, and host of the podcast. And he joins us now to talk about this particular episode that dropped this week and his plans for the coming year. Welcome to the program, Stephen.
Hi, pleasure to be with you.
So what inspired you, first off, to start doing this podcast?
Well, this is season two. So season one was sort of right in the aftermath of the 51st state comments.
Yep.
And when we did that, we were just trying to figure out, like, how much trouble are we in here? Like, and, you know, we kept finding out some pretty grave stuff. Like, we didn't have our own security services and we were quite vulnerable. But the second season is a bit of a change for us because it's a bit more about what the opportunities are. And what, now that the worst has happened, like how we can start to repair and how we can get a place in the world that's and start to consider maybe this is actually good for Canada and maybe we can actually flourish in this new world. And so that's why we made the second season, to try and figure out, like, well, what are our opportunities here? What can we start to build?
And in this particular episode, I was listening to it yesterday, you've got John Manley, Peter McKay, former Canadian politicians, and you've got the former Australian Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, on there. I found it interesting how Peter McKay and John Manley, being Canadians, were a little more reserved, I guess I could say, in talking.
I know. But whereas
Malcolm Turnbull was heaping praise on our Prime Minister and his plan.
Well, I think, you know, in Canada, like, I think there's a division, like, throughout this season, we saw this division everywhere in all these institutions. And very interesting, I mean, the reason we had Manley and McKay on is that they're, one's a conservative and one's a liberal, but they were both involved in the integration with the United States, you know, more or less completely in their political lives, just because of the historical period that we were in then. And I think there is a division in Canada between people who hope things are going to go back to normal and people who know that it's not going to go back to normal. And what I find really interesting about that is that that division isn't really political. Like, it's not party defined. It's not something, like, you definitely find it among liberals who, you know, like I've met in Supreme Court justices, ex-Supreme Court justices who teach at Harvard and stuff like that. And I found it in, you know, conservative ministers as well. So I think there is this kind of division in the country and frankly in all of us too. I think, you know, each of us sort of knows it isn't going to go back to normal, and yet we sort of have this hope against hope that it will. And so that kind of negotiating that tension is actually a really interesting moment for this country.
Well, and especially what we went through yesterday with the decision, which I don't think anybody was surprised at, but the U.S., it's one of those things, it's like, oh, man, he's talking about us again. Leave us alone.
Yeah, I know. Please just get distracted with something else, right? Like somebody shakes some keys in front of the baby's eyes so that it'll stop whinging. You know what I mean? Yeah, but I mean, we knew, like, that was very obvious that was going to happen. But also, I mean, like, do we even, when they say these things, do we even notice? Because, like, it's more or less random what comes out of their mouths at any given moment. So it's barely even worth taking seriously. Like, they could not mean it in 6 months. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's very, you're just dealing with people who are essentially random. So it makes planning very difficult.
Did you hear Bryan Adams' new song? I thought maybe you might get him on the show at some point.
Oh my God, I love it. Don't you love it? I mean, it's so great. It's like a rock anthem. Yeah, I was driving out to the country, yesterday, and I listened to it the whole way.
Stephen Marsh is our guest, the journalist, author, host of the podcast Gloves Off, real easy to find. What I like about your podcast as well, I can listen to the whole thing in about a half hour. That's my kind of podcast.
I mean, some people like them longer, but I like them shorter too, right? Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think it's better to be shorter. And you know, we have like a follow-on show called Cross Check, where I talk to them. It's like and that one's like half an hour too, and I like that. You know, if people want more, there's another half hour for them.
I agree, and that's on YouTube. They can find Cross Check, right?
Yeah, that's
so
right.
For you to get guests like Peter McKay, John Manley, and the former Australian prime minister, is that very difficult to do these days? Because there's all these podcasts and newsrooms out there that want all these experts. Was it difficult for you?
Well, when you're as charming as I am, it's very easy. We have a truly incredible chase producer. But you know, the last season of Gloves Off was it was a surprise hit. Like we basically made it in my attic in my house, and we got a huge number of listeners across all platforms, and people were really responded to it, and we got nominated for a Webby too. So like there was even some critical praise for it, and so we really felt like Canadians are listening to this. Canadians want this information. I think there, you know, I think there's these sort of in-depth conversations of our position at these moments of national crisis, rather than like, you know, just news items or whatever. Like, I think people are actually eager to hear this stuff. And when you have we're getting Alistair Campbell this year, and we had Margaret Atwood on last year. Mm-hmm. So we're getting some pretty incredible people, and I think it's because they know that Canadians are eager to hear this conversation.
Absolutely. So by having contact with all of these people, does it give you some fresh perspective on what you think the future is going to look like for our country?
Oh my God. I mean, it's amazing how doing these interviews, like I always find out I was mistaken. Like, it's very interesting, right? Like because they have such different perspectives that it's like, oh, I always learn something that I never thought I would learn. And I mean, the one thing I learned this time is like, it's so strange to say, but I actually have quite a bit more optimism than I did before I made the show, right? Like which is, you know, not that, as you know, as a journalist, it's not something that happens all the time. Usually you're finding out depressing as hell stuff, right? And, I think I'm very bullish on Canada in particular. I think we have a lot going for us. And I think we're in a moment of transition that is very profound. But I think we're going to end up better off in a certain sense than before this crisis. I really do.
And as you mentioned, that's your theme for this season going forward with your podcast, How Canada Will Win. What gives you that optimism?
Well, you know, like we had this system, which was that we were sort of Robin to America's Batman. And now Batman's turned into the Joker. We saw all of that. But then when you stop thinking about that, you realize we have this incredible country. We have, you know, we talk about our natural resources and stuff like that. But what we don't talk about often enough is we're, you know, usually in the top three of most respected countries in the world. So people want to make deals with us. We have huge levels of interpersonal trust in this country, which nobody really talks about, but is a huge deal. Like, I mean, and also we have the most educated population in the world. I mean, over 70% of Canadian women have a tertiary education. That's an insane number when you compare it to the next person on the chart, right? So we have a lot of natural resources. We have a lot of human resources. And I think if you step back from the chaos for a minute and look like, okay, well, what do we have here? What are we actually working with? It's a lot that we're working with, and it's a lot to build on. We're not starting from scratch, that's for sure.
In your podcast, the Australian, former Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull, again, saying that Carney is this amazing world politician, and he talked about the middle powers comments that the Prime Minister made in his Davos speech. Again, I was struck by the enthusiasm that he had for the middle powers approach that, oh yeah, this is one way we can deal with the change that's happening between us and the United States.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because one of the things we worried about, and like this was a legitimate question for me, is like, is the middle power stuff just fairy tales, right? Is this some kind of like nice talk, but it can't really happen? But then when you talk to someone like Turnbull, who, you know, had to make deals across Asia, right, among very diverse cultures, very diverse political systems, and like, and, you know, had to negotiate all that stuff, he actually makes it very clear that it's quite possible and that it's quite powerful when it happens. And so that was a real lesson for me. It's like, well, actually, this is not beyond the capacity of people to do. Like it's actually quite doable. And when it's done, it has huge, huge positive impacts for the countries involved in it. And so, you know, I think, and you know, we have this amazing interactive graphic that we're releasing next week. You know, Carney's made 102 separate deals since taking office, which is a massive amount of numbers. And we are a widely connected country around the world, right? So that is a huge balancing effect from the chaos from the United States. It really is. It's not a fairy tale.
Well, it'll be interesting. We're expecting to get word here just between 11:30 our time here this morning of another major deal, as the Prime Minister and BC Premier EB are going to make some announcement, and everybody's guessing it's a pipeline project. So we'll wait and see. But all of this gives you good fodder for your program, I guess, Stephen.
Well, I mean, the terrible thing is that the news keeps making it relevant, right? I mean, I really wish I was one of those guys where it's like, do you remember that guy who went on and on about, like, the collapse of the United States? Whatever happened to him? But no, I mean, unfortunately, the topicality just keeps coming. I wouldn't mind a few years of calm, actually.
You wrote a book, The Next Civil War. I have not read it. Can you give us some perspective on what it is?
Well, it was after the 2016 inauguration, which I attended for a magazine, like to report on, I got this end of Rome vibes from the United States. And so I crossed America a bunch of times. I interviewed about 200 people, and the long and the short of it is I came to the conclusion in about 2018 that America was the classic textbook case of a country headed for civil war because of a variety of factors. Like, it's not one factor. It's the hyperpartisanship. It's the inequality. It's the it's the immigration patterns. And so it's just a textbook case. And so that was the sort of argument that I made in The Next Civil War.
Stephen Marsh, always a pleasure. Thanks a lot. And I'm happy that I found your podcast. People can Google it or go to their podcast provider, Gloves Off. And the most recent episode dropped here just this week. Thanks for your time, Stephen.
Real pleasure.
You bet. Stephen Marsh, journalist, author, host of the podcast, Gloves Off. This is the Evan Bray Show. Brent Laux with you on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.